A year ago today, a plane load of prisoners captured on the battlefields of Afghanistan headed to a makeshift detention center at U.S. Navy base in Guantanamo, Cuba. That camp is now a semi-permanent facility with new cell blocks, interrogation rooms, and more than 600 inmates. The detentions there remain a focus of debate. The U.S. government says the indefinite imprisonment of suspected al-Qaeda operatives is a necessary part of anti-terrorism efforts, but even within the U.S. military, there is disagreement over how the Guantanamo camp should be run. NPR's Tom Jelton reports.
The Guantanamo prison camp has, from the beginning, been in a category of its own. The Navy base is on Cuban territory, arguably outside the jurisdiction of U.S. courts. But under an old treaty, it's also beyond the reach of Cuban law. The men being held at the camp, meanwhile, are supposedly captured enemy fighters, but the U.S. government has refused to call them prisoners of war. That status brings legal rights under the Geneva Conventions, which establish the laws of war. Pentagon spokeswoman Victoria Clark promised last January that the Guantanamo detainees would be in good hands.
At the end of the day, after a lot of hard work and consideration and deliberation, the American people and the people around the world will see that we are, A, treating these people very, very humanely, and B, adhering to the principles that we care very, very deeply about.
The first commander of the Guantanamo camp, Marine Brigadier General Michael Leonard, ran the detention facility as if the Geneva Conventions applied there, even inviting the International Committee of the Red Cross, or ICRC, to monitor conditions.
I believe that the most important thing was that we did have a framework for treatment of detained persons, and that framework was at least a point of departure. I tried to provide a common sense approach, that was also abetted by the ICRC. We had frequent meetings with them to ensure that we were doing those things that were consistent with international norms.
Within the military, there were two views on the Guantanamo operation. Some officers were uncomfortable with the refusal to consider the detainees prisoners of war and accord them the corresponding legal rights. U.S. troops themselves depend on the Geneva Conventions should they be captured. On the other hand, it was clear many of the detainees were former al-Qaeda operatives, and it was important to be able to get information from them about terrorist plans. Brigadier General Leonard left Guantanamo in March. The detention operation by that point was under a split command, with the camp management separated from the interrogation operation. According to intelligence sources, tensions soon developed between the two new commanders. Brigadier General Rick Backus, the camp manager, came from a military police background. Defense officials say he was determined to keep the facility operating in strict accord with the Geneva Conventions, to the point of allowing the Red Cross to put up posters summarizing Geneva provisions. The interrogations chief, Army Major General Michael Dunleavy, was an intelligence specialist. The defense sources tell NPR Dunleavy was concerned about getting as much information from the detainees as possible. The two commanders disagreed, officials say, over such things as whether the detainees should be housed together so they could talk among themselves, or separately, in which case the interrogations might have yielded more. Retired Lieutenant General Claudia Kennedy, a former Army intelligence chief, says it's not unusual for an intelligence officer to have a different perspective than a military police commander who'd be primarily focused on day-to-day camp management.
The intelligence officer wants to find out more about the al-Qaeda. Where are they? Who are they? What are their street addresses? And to gather that kind of information is impossible if you want to get it immediately. These guys are tough, and they're going to sit it out if they can. And what they need to understand is that we're tougher than they are.
At the Guantanamo camp, according to intelligence sources, interrogation specialists have approached the limits of what they are allowed to do under U.S. military guidelines. On some occasions, U.S. interrogators have dressed up as foreigners from countries where torture is practiced in order to scare uncooperative detainees. You come in as an Egyptian, says one source, and their faces go white. Another intelligence official says General Dunleavy unsuccessfully sought authorization to try more coercive techniques, including sleep deprivation, in an effort to get detainees to talk. A spokesman for General Dunleavy, who left his Guantanamo post in November, said he was unavailable for comment. A spokesman for the current Guantanamo commander would not discuss interrogation procedures, but said they remain consistent with Geneva principles. Four detainees who were released from the Guantanamo camp in October said they had been well treated. A spokesman for the International Committee of the Red Cross says the group is satisfied with the cooperation they've gotten from Guantanamo commanders. ICRC officials, foreign governments, and human rights groups, on the other hand, have complained about the U.S. government's refusal to allow the Guantanamo detainees access to legal representation. On that issue, the Pentagon is unapologetic. Lieutenant Commander Barbara Burfind, a Pentagon spokeswoman, says the Guantanamo detainees, quote, have demonstrated their will to cause harm to the U.S. and will remain under control as long as necessary. Tom Gelton, NPR News, Washington.